It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, the Green Bay Packers start their season in Chicago on Sunday with a game against the Bears. A reporter shares his analysis of game day arrests and ejections from Lambeau Field as football season kicks off.
First, scientists in South Africa welcomed a new species into the human family tree this morning. Its name, Homo naledi. It's slim, stands at under 5 feet tall, with feet and hands similar to humans and a brain a third the size of ours, according to researchers.
The bones of at least 15 individuals were found together in a remote cave, suggesting maybe ritual burial ground. The more than 1,500 well-preserved bones and teeth represent the largest, most complete set of its kind ever found in Africa.
Two University of Wisconsin researchers were on hand during that excavation, paleoanthropologist John Hawks and doctoral candidate Aliyah Gortov. Steve Paulson, executive producer of WPR's To the Best of Our Knowledge, spoke with the two researchers, and he joins us now to share their story. Steve, welcome to Central Time.
It is a pleasure to be here.
So in terms of pre-human ancestors like this, Lucy is the most famous, an ancient intact specimen. Comparatively, how big a deal is this new Homo naledi find?
It's a very big deal. For one thing, I mean, Lucy apparently, there was only about 40% of the Lucy skeleton that had been found. And in this new find, they found 15 skeletons, mostly intact. 15. And I should say that there are still many more bones down in that cave chamber. I mean, they've only just begun the excavation.
Now, you spoke with both John Hawks, the paleoanthropologist involved, and Aliyah Gortov, who did a lot of the excavation for specific reasons, mm-hmm. which we'll find out about this discovery. What did Hawks have to say about the significance of this new find?
Well, it's significant for various reasons. One is it's the biggest find of ancient hominin fossils ever in Africa. And, of course, it's worth remembering that we came from Africa. I mean, our species originated in Africa. So any find in Africa is a big deal. And there's just so much there. And it's a new species. I mean, as far as they can tell, I mean, they're sort of piecing together the, you know, pieces of these skeletons, and there's nothing else like it elsewhere. So it's a brand new species. So that's pretty amazing. I mean, part of the thing that's interesting is there are some parts of the species that look kind of like us and then others that are totally different. And so John Hawks says, we really need to rewrite the story of human evolution.
And you had the thrill of speaking with Hawks about this, and you brought in a little for us to listen to. Do you want to tell us what we're going to hear?
Sure. So, I mean, he's talking about how what he learned in school is kind of going out the window in terms of the story of evolution. And so, you know, here's what they're concluding.
Maybe 15 years ago, certainly when I was a student, we thought that the transition from early hominins that we call australopiths to our genus, Homo, was an event that was accompanied by a change in the way that we walk, a change in the way that we deal with culture. We started making artifacts. We developed technology. That change was tied to a change in diet. We got smaller teeth and we ate higher quality things. We shared food. We began to relate to groups of people in a tighter way with more cooperation. And that meant that the brain got bigger. And all of these things were closely linked to each other. And the fossil record, the archaeological record, seemed to support that. Looking at Homo naledi, its skull looks a lot like the skulls of other early Homo types of creatures, Homo habilis and Homo erectus, except it's too small. The brain hasn't increased in size in a way that humans have. It walked like us. Its feet are the most human aspects of its anatomy. It manipulated objects. We see that their hands were apparently well made to make things. And its teeth look like they were made for a high-quality diet. They're more human-like in some respects than Homo erectus, Homo habilis, for certain. But other parts of its anatomy are strikingly primitive. Its hips are australopith-like. They look nothing like the hips we've attributed to Homo before. Its brain is so small, it tells us that these things that we thought went together as a package actually happened separately, and maybe in separate branches of our evolutionary tree.
That was paleoanthropologist John Hawks talking about this new find in South Africa, Homo naledi. Steve, where does that name come from?
Naledi means star in the local language, and this refers to the whole cave system where this find was, the Rising Star Cave System, which is a little outside of Johannesburg in South Africa. And there's a particular chamber where these bones were found, the Dinaledi chamber, so that's, they sort of dropped down into that chamber to recover these particular fossils.
And as we talk about this new find and what it means to the question of where we come from, in this story, one of the more exciting aspects, at least at the beginning, is how these bones were ever excavated in the first place. Tell us a little bit about what you know about how researchers accessed these bones in this remote cave.
It's a great story. So there's a very active caving community in South Africa, and some of the cavers contacted the famous paleoanthropologist who actually led the study, Lee Berger, and said, you know, if we see anything, do you want to know about it? You know, if we see things that look ancient, you know, maybe human-like, and he said, absolutely. And so there were a couple of cavers who had been in this cave, and it had been explored before, but one of them dropped down into this little tiny crevice and realized, oh, you could crawl down a little bit more, and then realized it looks like there's something down there that looks sort of human-like. And so Lee Berger mounted an expedition, and has actually sort of a fascinating story, put out a notice on Facebook saying, looking for small, ideally female archaeologists who don't mind fitting into very tiny spaces, could drop everything at a moment's notice and go to South Africa for a month.
And one of the respondents
was Aaliyah Gertoff, who is a grad student in anthropology here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and she went. And it's an amazing story. I mean, the reason why you have to be so small is there are tiny passages that you have to squeeze in. I mean, the tiniest being 7 inches. There's a chokehold 7 inches that you go down. Wow. And we have a bit of tape from her. Shall we hear it?
So let's take a listen as we talk to WPR Steve Paulson about the finding of Homo naledi in South Africa.
From the outside, the cave is not much to look at, honestly. It's just a hole in the ground. But as you descend, it becomes darker and darker, and you begin to have to squeeze between the walls. Then later there's a crawl through a very narrow tunnel, and that opens up into an area where the only way to get where you're going is to crawl up a fallen ridge of stone from the ceiling called Dragon's Back. And that's a technical climb. We actually hook in with harnesses to get up there. Once you get up Dragon's Back, you have to wind your way around steep, deep holes, and then you enter a fissure that drops 12 feet. Now, it's a very tight drop. What we're talking about is the choke point that required such small-bodied people. The narrowest point in that chute is about 7 inches. Yeah. So the good thing is that most of our bodies are mostly made of squishy stuff. It was cool. The stones were a little bit damp, but the temperature was really perfect for working in. So as you move through the space, it gets more and more silent, and the air gets still, but it smells good. It smells like dirt, like just after a rain, that kind of dampness. And it smells ancient. And the only thing you're hearing is the swish of your coveralls, the scrape of your feet against stone or dirt, and the sound of your own breathing.
That sounds incredible, and also like something I would not choose to experience willingly. But
I have to say, as someone who has a bit of claustrophobia myself, this would be a nightmare.
Yeah,
for
you're
me.
Not alone, my friend. But thank God there are people who can do that, because
yes,
we have finds like this. Now, before we let you go, Steve, one of the big mysteries here was, why are these bones here? What do we know about that?
Yeah. Well, apparently this is not a pit where people fell in. It's not something where it looks like predators dragged these humans in, because the bones are pristine. The skeletons are largely intact. So there is no evidence of violence. And this suggests another explanation. And again, we'll hear from paleoanthropologist John Hawks.
We believe the most logical explanation is that Homo naledi were bringing bodies to this place.
You're talking about some sort of burial site.
You know, that's a tough word for us. It is, because it's natural, right? It's natural to say, well, they respected this place. They were bringing the bodies there. They cared about it. It's some sort of burial. But As from the science side, of course, we don't know what they were thinking. The bodies were not intentionally placed in graves. We know that these bodies were taken there by someone who knew this chamber and who did it repeatedly. That implies a kind of cultural knowledge, and it implies some sort of recognition of mortality. Maybe that's all it implies.
Of course, the huge questions are, was this part of some religious ceremony? Was there some belief in an afterlife?
Yeah. And as an anthropologist, those are the things that most engage me. And it is important for us not to overinterpret. We don't know what Homo Naledi knew. We can't imagine that there was some sort of ceremony that we're talking. We're not talking about a religion in a human sense. We're not talking about something that we recognize as having the trappings of belief as humans have it. You know, I think we're not looking at that.
So you're talking about rituals, but you're reluctant to use the word religious along with that.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, we know it was repeated. It had importance of some kind. But we don't know that it was symbolic, that it had a component that was beyond the ordinary that required a belief, a communication system, the things that religion in humans is built on. We just don't know. And for me, it's certainly something that makes me really meditate about what were our ancestors doing? What were they thinking? And where was our place in this with creatures that had, in some respects, very human-like behaviors, but were not themselves humans?
And Steve, just very briefly, what are the big questions science needs to answer about Homo Naledi?
One of the biggest is, when did they live? They don't know. They don't have a clue. It's the usual way of dating fossils has so far eluded these scientists. So they say they could be 50,000 years old. They could be a million years old. A huge question.
Big question. Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
We've been talking to Steve Paulson, executive producer of To the Best of Our Knowledge. This morning, a group of researchers, including two from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, announced the finding of a new human-like species. You can catch the entire To the Best of Our Knowledge episode looking at this and other human ancestors here on the Ideas Network at 1 p.m. this Sunday, as well as on ttbook.org.